This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
There's an old adage that to the victors belong the spoils, but it looks like communist China is taking home the spoils from America's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. China could prove to be the ultimate winner, even though it shed no blood and didn't give much aid. Communist China is right now the biggest user of Iraq's tremendous oil supply. Donald Trump summed it up best. He said, "We spent $1.5 trillion. We lost thousands of lives, but China is in there taking out all the oil, and we're getting nothing. How can our leadership allow this to happen?" Communist China also signed a strategic partnership with Afghanistan, and top Chinese government figures traveled to that country to announce that China will train 300 Afghan police officers. China is eyeing Afghanistan's estimated $1 trillion worth of unexploited minerals. Chinese companies have acquired rights to extract vast quantities of copper and coal. China made a deal for oil exploration concessions, and China is looking at extensive deposits of lithium, which can be used in batteries and nuclear components. China is the only country that has the ready cash to foot the level of investment needed to extract the materials from Afghanistan. Central Asian experts say that superpowers have historically been involved in Afghanistan because it is an Asian crossroads, and China is no exception. The Obama administration has even allowed China to take over strategic drilling interests in the Gulf of Mexico. This deal puts China in control of valuable drilling interests, and according to a pending Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, it's worth mentioning that this deal will also put cash in the pockets of Obama campaign donors and bundlers.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Double-digit unemployment has been blamed on the economy, outsourcing of jobs to foreign countries, illegal aliens taking U.S. jobs, illiteracy, free trade, and Washington's misguided stimulus bill. At eagleforum.org, we want to hear your opinion. Join the blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traces of Reality Radio on tracesofreality.com, live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Guillermo Jimenez. Thank you all so much for joining me here again today, Monday, October the 14th, 2013. Catch us live here every weekday, 10 to 11 a.m. Central on RBN. Archives of this show available on tracesofreality.com. Keep up with the show by subscribing to the podcast. It's absolutely free. Subscribe via iTunes or RSS feed. Big thanks to those of you who have already done that. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can follow me there as well, /Traces of Reality on both of those sites. Interact with us live on the show. Best way to do that is either on Facebook or Twitter. Send your questions or comments or call us up. If we have time, the number is always 800-313-9443. All right, now on today's show, my guest today is a staff writer for WhoWhatWhy.com and a contributing writer to various other publications as well, Mr. Christian Storr. Christian, thanks so much for coming back on the show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Thanks for being back on the show. Very, very much enjoyed our discussion the last time you were on. We talked about the Barrett Brown story, Brown's connections to Michael Hastings, and what was really fascinating, of course, was the work that both of these journalists were doing in uncovering the hidden world of private intelligence contractors. And that work and the details of the various different companies that we talked about last time seem all the more relevant now with these latest Edward Snowden leaks published by The Guardian regarding the NSA and Tor. Of course, the takedown of the Silk Road, the arrest of Ross Ulbricht, a.k.a. Dread Pirate Roberts, allegedly. And within this context, the rhetoric coming from people like Hayden, like Keith Alexander, James Clapper, and so on, painting Tor as a tool for terrorists, Anonymous is the new Al-Qaeda, the Internet is a global free fire zone. I mean, just pure lunacy. So I wanted to get started here with an article you wrote recently published in Policy Mike titled "How a Growing Cybersecurity Industry is Manipulating You," in which you address a lot of these concerns I just mentioned. So let the people know here, Christian, how are they being manipulated by that cybersecurity industrial complex?
Sure. So cybersecurity as a form of national security protection has been very much touted over the past years, increasingly as the Internet has brought the entire world together as integrated computer networks across the world. So it's really not a surprise that politicians and people in government, officials, et cetera, are hyping, or not hyping this threat, are at least discussing this threat, it seems, within reason. And the nature of the internet enables it. It enables people's computers to be infected from without. So just as a statement from the beginning, I guess I should say that cybersecurity in general is not something that should necessarily worry people. It's the manner in which these officials are hyping the cybersecurity threat and conflating various different forms of hacking into this big indistinguishable mass. Now, cyber, the number one word that's used to scare the public in this milieu is cyber warfare. And precisely like the war on poverty, the war on drugs before it, war on terror, war is a term that is used to mobilize people that would otherwise not be interested in these issues, and therefore that's why I believe its use is somewhat of a manipulation based on the true facts and the true dangers that currently afflict American computer systems, particularly those within the government and what the government considers critical infrastructure, things like the power grid, nuclear power plants, the water system, etc. Now, many people are claiming within this industry, we can call it cybersecurity industry, it's also known as information security or InfoSec, they often claim that everything is cyber warfare, although within it you have to be very particular in understanding its two variants, which are cyber espionage and cyber sabotage. Now, cyber espionage refers to the intrusion into computer systems for the purposes of gathering information. And this is by far the most common form of hacking that occurs between states. So whenever you hear a cybersecurity official discussing the ability of China to hack into American computer systems, that is essentially what they're referencing, because it is very common. And as you can imagine, even if you're surveying the NSA stories that have been coming out recently, you can see exactly how the United States even engages in this type of behavior. There was recently the revelation that the United States was hacking into the servers of Petrobras, the Brazilian state oil industry, and was using it to pilfer economic intelligence. Now, this can be extremely useful both in negotiating trade deals and in being able to preempt geopolitical competitors when you are addressing them on the world stage. So the notion that intelligence, whether economic, military, or any of those, the notion that that is somehow uncommon is just extremely disputed. It's extremely common between states, the same way that spying is extremely common between states, and therefore I don't think should garner the hysteria that it often does. Now, cyber sabotage is the real threat, which is often why I believe it's touted so often by cybersecurity experts. Cyber sabotage refers to computer network penetration for the purposes of disrupting a target's industrial capabilities. So in the case of critical infrastructure, as I said, like nuclear plants, water treatment facilities, even communications networks, defense against this type of intrusion is very much reasonable. And anyone who would question that, I would say you should go take a look at the effects, many of which are still not even fully known, of the American-Israeli Stuxnet virus, which was released against the Iranian nuclear program and damaged multiple centrifuges and ended up spinning out of control, infecting computers as far as India. So the notion of cyber sabotage as a serious threat that needs to be addressed, again, I think is very much within reason. But there are lots of ways that one can protect computer networks from cyber sabotage. And the most common and the most effective is to create what's known as an air gap between your computer system and the public internet. This basically means you do not hook up the computers which are running such critical infrastructure to the public internet. Therefore, it cannot be attacked from without. This is not only common, it's basically the game plan. It's exactly what industry should be doing, and in many cases does do. But unfortunately, cybersecurity experts like to harp on the dangers of a nuclear plant or a water treatment facility going under by a cyber attack as a method of galvanizing people into basically acquiescing to whatever types of quote-unquote reforms they're proposing, many of which I think go far beyond the stated objectives and present serious dangers to personal and to one's personal liberty when using the internet.
Absolutely. And they're using a tried and true template to do just that. And we'll talk a little bit about that here after the break. Stay with us, folks, more on Traces of Reality Radio.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20 plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, welcome back again, joined this hour by Christian Stork, writer for WhoWhatWhy.com, and we're talking about the NSA, we're talking about cyber war, cybersecurity, cyber espionage, cyber sabotage, and you mentioned several things that last segment, Christian, that I think deserve more attention that I'd like to sort of expand on. But quickly, I did want to just mention also that that was a really good point you made at the opening there to point out that cybersecurity in itself, in and of itself, is not a, you know, sort of existential concern or threat necessarily. It actually is something that's vitally important. Our infrastructure should be protected from potential hacks, attacks, or otherwise. And I suppose it's it kind of along the same lines. You know, defense in general is something that is necessary. You know, your classic defense through the military is something that's a necessary thing. It's the other side of that's troubling. The expansion of that military industrial complex, and now, like you describe it in your article, creating that iron triangle between big business and big government. And I see this happening as you do, I'm sure, as you explained in your article, with this new cybersecurity stuff. And we talked about this a bit last week with Mr. Jacob Hornberger on the program, who was he's from the Future of Freedom Foundation. He wrote recently an article about JFK, right, and his war with the national security state, and how no president since then had really taken on the CIA or the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about, and you referenced in your article. And I thought Jacob made a good point, I thought, by saying that there really wasn't any real distinction to be made between what you would consider your classic military-industrial complex, these behemoth defense contractors that profit from war, that profit from always having an enemy to fight, and these new cybersecurity firms, which seem just like the next phase of this same system, the same old Iron Triangle. In fact, some of these same companies like Raytheon are jumping into this new racket. So it looks like the military-industrial complex has just entered into its next evolutionary phase as the battlefield shifts to cyberspace. Now, would you agree with that assessment? Are we seeing basically the same template? Or is there anything uniquely different about the cybersecurity industry? Any particular distinctions that we can draw?
I think that's a fair assessment by Mr. Hornberger. I mean, the U.S. government is expected to spend around $10.5 billion per year on cybersecurity by 2015, and the worldwide market is supposed to be somewhere between $80 and $140 billion a year. As you mentioned, the big military-industrial complex players, companies like L3 Communications, SAIC, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, they're all launching cybersecurity branches, or they're acquiring firms which have a great reputation for cybersecurity products. So, as you mentioned, these companies are parlaying their way into the cybersecurity realm precisely because they see the huge growth in their own profit margins that will accompany said move. I don't see any particular distinction between them and even small niche cybersecurity firms, companies mm-hmm. like Endgame Systems. Actually, Endgame Systems has an even more niche product that it sells, so I guess we can put that aside for now.
Sure, sure.
Companies like Barraco Technologies and the now-shuttered HB Gary. These companies are very small, but what unites them, and I guess perhaps this might be one difference that you can highlight between this and the traditional military-industrial complex, is that a lot of these companies are hire former hackers, precisely for the reason that cybersecurity requires people testing network protection systems and being able to break through them, and then therefore the developers can then plug that hole. So in a lot of these companies, you see many of their executives being former hackers and employing a fair amount of former hackers. This is what's known in the industry as white hat hacking. These are people who use their skills in penetrating protected computer networks and then sell those skills. So there's a danger, and I think we briefly touched on this in our discussion of the Barrett Brown story, mm-hmm. is that there's a unique danger among companies like this being able to use these skills in ways which were never intended, not simply to protect the networks of big money clients of theirs, but also to break into the networks of those who oppose their clients. So that happened in the case of Barrett Brown when he was able to search through the trove of emails from one cybersecurity executive he found plans that were being pitched between a consortium of these firms to big money clients, which aimed to break into the servers, or excuse me, of the break into the networks of critics of these clients, right, and use their skills as ex-hackers against them. So I think that that poses a unique danger, but nevertheless, the profit incentive and the need to hype up the threat so as to secure government contracts is essentially uniform between the traditional military-industrial complex and its new variant.
Absolutely. And, you know, hearing you talk about this this aspect of cybersecurity and hiring former hackers to join these companies and to use their expertise and their services, it kind of reminds me of a company like Blackwater, for example, that was hiring ex-mercenaries in Chile and the like. I guess there's some parallel there, a little comparison to be made. And Blackwater, I don't even know what they're called these days. They've changed their name to Z, then they changed their name to Academy. I can't even keep track anymore. I think their name is still Academy. I'm not even sure. But that's, I mean, that to me is something, a little parallel to be drawn there also. I'd like to also discuss, something you mentioned earlier in one of the ways that we can sort of, protect against these infiltrations in the cyber world. You mentioned the air gapping, which is a very interesting thing. It's a very important thing, not just for the industry, for individuals as well, activists, journalists, anyone who works with sensitive information that they would otherwise like to keep private. And the only way to do that, I think, to keep it absolutely secure beyond using things like Tor, which we're going to talk about, in encryption, would be that, just to not have that computer that you're using for that work ever connected to the internet. That I think is good practice for anyone really who'd like to keep their stuff completely private. And so could we get into this a little bit, into encryption, into privacy, into Tor? Because as we mentioned earlier, the rhetoric coming from these guys, Clapper, Hayden, Alexander, and the like, the rhetoric coming from these guys and from the mainstream media talking heads is Tor is a tool for terrorists. Anonymous is the new Al-Qaeda. Something we need to be very, very afraid of. And, you know, we need to justify these huge government contracts for these companies and allow the NSA to do this dirty work. It's necessary after all. We had Alexander just recently come out and say again that he believes these Snowden leaks are going to lead to death. They're going to cause deaths. He's really, you know, trying to just going to strike that home. So, could you speak to that a little bit? Again, this fear-based politicking and the so-called need for the NSA to compromise things like Tor and go after people who use Tor.
Sure. Well, let me allow me to segue from our earlier discussion to the Tor one by displaying the case of John Michael, quote unquote, Mike McConnell. He is one of the number one advocates of a cyber war Armageddon. I will finish the story of him on the other end of the
story. Sorry about that. Coming up on the break here. Yeah, we'll take a break right there. Stay with us, guys. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back here on Traces of Reality Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin-Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Taking a chance on a new kind of vision is due.
I used to trust the media to tell me the truth. That was the truth. But now I see the payoffs everywhere I look. Only it sucks when everyone's a crook. Revolution coming, revolution coming, revolution coming, yeah. There's a revolution coming.
All right, welcome back. We've got about half an hour left in the program here, joined by Christian Storck of WhoWhatWhy.com. We're talking about, well, we left off talking about the NSA and Tor, and we're going to get into an example that Christian was going to share here with us. I wanted to mention here briefly also, if you got quick, if you got a quick question or comment you want to share with us, please do that at Facebook and Twitter at /tracesofreality.com. If you can squeeze it into 140 characters or less, go ahead and tweet me at tracesofreality. Quickest and most assured way to get that question or comment to us. So may not have time for calls, but just in case, 800-313-9443. All right, Christian, so we got interrupted by that last break, so please pick it up right where you left off.
Sure. So I was about to discuss the story of Mike McConnell. Now, Mike McConnell was the head of NSA for 4 years, and then in 1996 joined Booz Allen Hamilton. Obviously, that's the firm that employed Edward Snowden. It's also one of the biggest military and cybersecurity contractors for the military and for the intelligence community. And he came back to the NSA in 2007, or excuse me, came back to government in 2007 as the second director of national intelligence under President George Bush. And according to authors like Tim Sharrock and Dana Priest, who are very well regarded in reporting on these things, he pushed for, he heavily lobbied for increased privatization within the intelligence community and increasing the role of contractors and how they play. So that at current rates, it's about 70% of the intelligence community's functions are carried out by private intelligence contractors. After that, he returns to Booz Allen in 2009 as executive VP of their intelligence business, and he's named vice chairman of the company in 2011. So I think
that convenient.
Yeah, exactly. I think that illustrates quite well the profit motive underlying much of the cyber war scare, especially since Mike McConnell has been its foremost advocate, at least in the media. He penned a piece in the Washington Post op-ed section a number of years ago, which lamented the threat of cybersecurity, or excuse me, lamented the lack of protections, the lack of cybersecurity in America, and how they needed to do this thing. And, you know, obviously they would be securing, Booz Allen Hamilton would be securing such government contracts. So I wanted to use his case to illustrate exactly why the claims of people like James Clapper and NSA head Keith Alexander, as you mentioned, are not dubious necessarily, but at least require serious scrutiny. So in relation to how their claims affect the network Tor, I think people need to understand basically how Tor operates and why it is it's so, quote-unquote, dangerous for people like Keith Alexander. So okay. Tor is an acronym which stands for the Onion Router, and it's premised on the concept of onion routing, as the name would suggest. And onion routing works by wrapping data with consecutive layers of encryption, which can then be peeled back like an onion, and that those pass through a series of proxy computers around the world, which are known as nodes or relays, before reaching their eventual destination. Each layer is decrypted or peeled, contains information on where to send the message next. And the original message is only known to the sender, the recipient, and the exit node, the final relay in the path, which is also known as a circuit. And that's the only link in the chain where data is unencrypted. It's between the exit node and the receiver. So what Tor does is it encrypts user information for online browsing, which is the personal identifiable data that you send when visiting a website. So IP address X requests a connection with website Y. Encryption, as it is usually understood in things like PGP email, basically puts the message content under lock and key. So if you're sending an encrypted email without accessing your mail server anonymously through Tor, then the metadata of that email, who you sent it to, when you sent it, from what IP address, can still compromise your identity to people who will be looking, people like the NSA. So Tor services a number of clientele around the world, human rights activists to drug peddlers on the now-shuttered Silk Road. And as such, it just presents a huge thorn in the side of the NSA and its affiliated agencies, the intelligence agencies of the Anglophone countries, otherwise known as the Five Eyes Alliance, and puts a huge thorn in their side when it comes to dragnet surveillance of all internet users. Unfortunately, the National Security Agency has found a number of ways to out individual Tor users, but nevertheless, the entire Tor network provides a fair degree of anonymity to its users and at least forces the NSA to use a number of individualized techniques to unmask specific users. So in that sense, it at least removes the blanket from blanket surveillance and makes the NSA have to target their resources at one user.
It's a really, really good point, because we saw a lot of this in the media recently, claiming Tor has been, you know, compromised. It's essentially the projection they were putting out was essentially, you know, there's no reason to use it anymore because NSA can unmask you, the FBI can compromise the network. But that's a really, really good point, because to do that, they'd have to focus on you individually. And to do that, you would think that then at that point they're going to need some kind of reasonable, articulable suspicion cause to target a single individual rather than the dragnet surveillance as you just described. So in short, Tor works, basically. And that's something that I think folks should look into and other forms of encryption as well. So, you know, again, and the idea also that could you speak to this a little bit? The idea we start off like this, that, you know, that Keith Alexander claims that as a result of the knowledge of their of these the NSA's programs, that more people will die, he says, that terrorists read the news and now they know they're being watched and they're going to adjust their behaviors and their tactics. And we know, we learned that the NSA's claims that they thwarted, you know, 55 or some odd attacks because of their domestic surveillance programs. You know that that to later admit that that wasn't true, that that was greatly exaggerated. We can look at things like recent events like the Boston Marathon bombing and how they couldn't prevent that, even though Tamerlan Tsarnaev was essentially in every major terrorist watch database, and they still couldn't prevent that. And yet they claimed that as a victory, amazingly, that they were able to ensure that no follow-up attacks happened because of this domestic surveillance program. So, again, the rhetoric is the same, whether we're talking about traditional forms of defense or intrusions on our liberty in this new realm in cyberspace. So I just wanted to point that out. And I guess just one quick point that I wanted to make for sure is that the idea that programs like this, like the NSA domestic surveillance, the way that they're going after people who use Tor and such, that this is all keeping us more safe. And let's just say for the sake of argument, let's just say that it does, right? Why not then, if you follow that logic, right, why not then put a camera and a microphone everywhere in everyone's homes? And just completely drop this facade of a free society, right? Why not have the police come to your home and perform random searches? Once or twice a week, a random visit by the goon squad just to make sure nothing illegal is going on and everyone's safe and sound. You know, some might say, you know, that's taking it to the extreme, but I mean, what we're doing now here, it's the same thing, this domestic surveillance. It's the same thing in principle. By so really we've already conceded the principle, now we're just left with asking to what degree. That's the way I would see this. Wondering to get, you know, your opinion on this, Christian.
Well, I think that offers a pretty perfect illustration of the situation at hand. I mean, no one denies that services like Tor enable certain forms of criminality. One can judge for themselves whether they agree that some such things should be illegal. Obviously, Dread Pirate Roberts, who we believe is Ross Ulbricht, he did not believe that the consensual trading of drugs, or excuse me, trading of money for drugs was something that should be illegal, and his libertarian philosophy, personal philosophy, essentially informed this belief of his. But as you say, the question is, if we want to prevent something like, say, domestic abuse, wouldn't it serve the broader polity much better if you could have the goon squad go in and do random searches of one's house and ensure that both partners are equally taken care of and that there are no bruises showing up? So, yeah, the question is a matter of degree insofar as what types of liberty are you trying, or are you willing to give up to ensure security? Now, as this pertains to General Clapper's claims that this is going to cost lives, I think that his claims are very specious and require a fair amount of scrutiny, which we can delve into further.
Yeah, absolutely. Scrutiny is the key there with statements like that. We got to take a break here. One final segment this morning. Stay with us here on Traces of Reality Radio.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. StemGevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at StemGevity.com today. That's StemGevity. StemGevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs StemGevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendivite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendivite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendivite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we're back. Last segment this morning on Traces of Reality Radio, joined by Christian Stork of WhoWhatWhy.com. And we left off talking about Keith Alexander and his comments. This is out of an article that I read here out of the Wall Street Journal last week, looks like. And Alexander is quoted as saying this. He says, "Terrorists, listen. They see what has come out in the press and they adjust. I believe people will die because we won't be able to stop some of those threats." And he closes out with this: "If there was any way to tell the American people without telling the terrorists, we would do it." And that, to me, is very telling, a very telling statement, because I look at it like this. I mean, to my mind, he's basically saying, Yeah, we wish we could tell you, you know, as if that's what we're most upset about, that we're not being told, that we're all being data mined and surveilled. But the problem is you're doing it, not so much that you're not telling me. It's a problem that you're not telling us, sure. You shouldn't be doing it to begin with. And the reason I bring that up is because we were talking about NSA reform last week with Marcy Wheeler, and how a lot of this so-called reform is merely just fessing up to the fact that it's happening and just codifying it into law. That's what they mean by reform, which is just remarkable. It's really amazing that that's, but that's how this strange web of twisting language is weaved. Christian, your comments on Alexander's statements here.
Well, I listened to your interview with Marcy Wheeler, and she is, you know, one of the best, one of the most trustworthy experts in terms of being able to scrutinize and to seriously investigate the words of both officials and official white papers and bureaucratic documents and such. So she was, she has been very astute in pointing out on her blog just how much the intelligence community and intelligence officials and their supporters on the Senate and House Intelligence Committees, how much they have all lied in defense of these programs. As you mentioned before the last break, the number of terrorist attacks that were supposedly headed off by the Dragnet phone metadata collection program. The original number was somewhere just below 50 that was offered, and then they had to attenuate that and say that it was you know, just a handful which were actually within the U.S. And then of those, only one was used the phone metadata collection program. And even that wasn't a clear-cut case of terrorism. It was a Somali taxi driver who sent money back to Somalia that allegedly ended up in the hands of al-Shabaab.
Right.
So, in a sense, you see the lies of the intelligence community and its defenders just crumbling in the wake of these successive revelations, about one every week, which seems to show what the statements made last week were, how they were false. And I think that those are things to keep in mind when evaluating the trustworthiness of government officials. I mean, Keith Alexander can say that when programs like this are disclosed to the press, terrorists can switch up their tactics. And of course, people who are critical of that point of view can't prove a negative. They can't say, oh, there might be some, you know, hapless terrorist, like Tamerlan Tsarnaev's younger brother, Jokar, who saw this in the news and then went about protecting his communications before carrying out a plot. But the truth is that in terms of the security of the state and the broader society, hapless terrorists will always be a nuisance, and they don't.
Sure.
They're no existential threat. The real terrorist networks that often have intelligence training in their background, groups like Al Qaeda, they are very sophisticated in their use of communications, as one would expect them to do. Because if they weren't, they wouldn't be a factor. They would not be a terrorist organization worth their name. So Osama bin Laden famously had an air-gapped computer, and he used couriers to send messages that would be taken to internet cafes before ever being transmitted to his terrorist network. And then even that, when analyzing the threat posed by serious terrorist organizations, even that has very much been hyped up. I mean, 9/11 was an awful tragedy and a very successful operation in terms of the terrorists, what they wanted to achieve. But nevertheless, it was very much an anomaly. It was really the success. It was the ability of a bunch of hijackers to basically get lucky and to expose some pitfalls in the American security establishment. And since then, a lot of that damage has been mitigated, a lot of those holes. But in response, there's been a whole growth of the national security establishment, which unfortunately impinges on the lives of law-abiding Americans and law-abiding foreigners when it conducts such blanket surveillance across the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of this sort of existential terrorist threat, I think it does bear repeating that, or pointing out that Al-Qaeda, of course, it was a creation of the CIA. And in many, and even before and after 9/11, there's evidence that they were still doing business with government entities and certain contractors that receive government funding. So I mean the ties are there. They're clear. And they continue to this day, even in places like Syria, where now Al-Qaeda is again an ally of the United States. Again, these alliances shift with the wind, and the more you follow this trail, the more confusing it can be at times, but the more it makes sense at the same time as well on how this grand chessboard does really play out, and how the CIA and similar intelligence networks in other countries. You mentioned the Five Eyes earlier, right? The alliances and how they sort of work together to perform the same goal of subverting countries, destabilizing countries, and to the benefit of the imperial United States. So that's a classic template that we can trace back and see happening throughout history over and over and over again. Before we run out of time, though, we have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to mention the story, but we're not going to have too much time to go into it in any detail. But out of digital media law, going back to the Silk Road story we brought up earlier, so close yet so far, FBI access to Silk Road Bitcoin fortune may be blocked by the Fifth Amendment. I bring it up because there's been a lot of debate on the internet, some in the media, as to the legitimacy of Bitcoin as a currency, as to the legitimacy of its anonymity capabilities. So could you speak to this a little bit, Christian, and what you make about a story like this that the FBI still can't get to the Drake Pirates, Roberts' gold, his treasure?
Unfortunately, I haven't read that story, so I'm not going to comment exactly on the ins and outs that are offered there. I will say that Bitcoin has undergone a huge torrent of criticism since it first came about, way before the Dread Pirate Roberts story, simply because it offers a mode of economic interaction that is in no way connected to a central authority, like a central bank or a government. And in that sense, it's extremely dangerous. I also am kind of skeptical of the Bitcoin prophets, people who see it as the next coming of a new currency that will eliminate the state, need for the state altogether. I think that that's a little bit overblown. But nevertheless, Bitcoin as serving as an alternative in terms of a cryptographic currency that can't be traced readily by central servers or authorities, I think offers a great avenue for people who are trying to conduct their economic transactions in privacy, and for those who would say that, oh, if you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't be worried about doing such transactions. Yet again, that just comes down to a philosophical question: how much liberty are you willing to give up in the name of security? And the question again that begs another question, which is, to what degree are you willing to let the government oversee every aspect of your life, as in terms of them being able to analyze every single thing that you are doing, every single interaction of your life, and how will that affect your ability to engage in free creation, to help your society going into the future? I think it's very harmful for that.
Absolutely. Very, very well put, Christian. Thank you so much for being here, man. I really do appreciate it. Appreciate your time and sharing your knowledge here with the audience. Again, check out Christian's stuff on whowhatwhy.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Christian Stork. Come back and join us tomorrow here on RBN, 10 to 11 Central. And until then, this has been Guillermo Jimenez reminding you, as always, that on this grand chessboard, it is we, the people, who are now in check. It's our move. Thank you all for listening.
With finance.